At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Tres Leches. Happy Pride Month. It's Juan here. Oh, how I've missed you, and you've missed me, and I've missed you for missing me, and you've missed me for missing you, and we just miss each other. Always have, always will. Maybe that's because no one ever really missed any of us at all. Mama? Where am I? Who am I? Oh, that's right. I'm Jan Falcon, and Gerald Ford is president, and today is Pride Sunday. Well, you're in for a treat, because we have the perfect guest to help us celebrate none other than the unstoppable, unshakable, always iconic Mardi Gould Cummings. International drag staple, truth teller, political powerhouse, and this year's New York City Pride Grand Marshal. You've seen them take on City Hall, oh yes. And in Queen of New York, the documentary now streaming on Reverie, you can follow Marty's historic run as the first openly non-binary candidate for New York City Council. And as of this year, are you ready? Hold on to your hats, and I hope you brought your passports, because Marty just broke a record. As of this year, Marty is the first drag queen to perform on all 7 continents. Marty loves to cruise, honey, cruise, baby, cruise. In every meaning of the word. We'll get into that later. I adore Marty. They have been a part of my New York story for almost my entire 20 years that I've lived here. We hope you're hungry for this delicious, delicious slice of tres leches. Enjoy the show.
Marty, how does it feel to be a New York City institution at this point?
An institution? You are, like the mayor?
You are.
Like, you are Mardi Gould Cummings from New York City, darling. Yeah, you're like the mayor. You're like really MoMA.
You're like a walking monument.
That's me. I don't think of it like that. I don't know. I just vibe.
Yeah.
Listen to me, Martina McBride, Anderson Cummings. Truly, you are a part of the brand of New York at this point. You know what I mean? It's just like you're, I don't know how I'd say this. You have done so many things, right?
Yes.
Like your activism is extraordinary. And then as an entertainer, you have worked with everybody, you've worked everywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you are New York nightlife and your light and positivity and also like fantastic shadiness is just the best.
I'm like a secret shady though. Like,
you exactly. Yes, it's undercover.
It's undercover. Like, you know, I like to, you know, I like when I'm with the girls, like, I, you know, I like to, I, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know. Institution. I feel very lucky. You know, I've been in New York. My 20 years in New York is next week.
Wow.
Wow.
And mine's in August.
At work. It's incredible, right? But like now I have these kids at my show who are like 21 and I'm like,
oh,
I'm old. I'm a boomer.
young.
Like, when I started doing drag like 18 years ago, and it became my full-time bread and butter. 16 years ago, I was, like, very young. And at the time, like, you know, I looked up to, like, Candace Kane and Sherry Vaughn. I still look up to them, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Peppermint, Chiquita, like, these legends,
yes.
Right? And they were doing drag. Like, when I started drag, they were at their, like, 15, 20 year mark, and now like I'm at that, which is
right, which is why when I say you're an institution, you say, darling, it feels fabulous.
It does feel fabulous.
You're still here.
Maybe she's grateful, she's joyful, she's hoofing it around all
everything
over.
Everything definitely came up roses for you, that is for sure.
Okay, can we talk about how Nicole Scherzinger should not have won the Tony? And okay, we're going to get into it.
Oh,
okay.
We can, honestly.
Let me tell you.
Get in.
Okay, let me tell you. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, because you said everything's coming up roses, so we're shifting gears. And talk. Okay, because let me tell you. Okay, so.
Okay.
People were really shady, like, oh, Audra shouldn't play this role. Take a seat, because Audra is the premier actress, okay?
Yeah.
I saw third row, She spit on me, and I was like, now choke me out. Like, I when she spit, I was like, now call me a slut. She...
please.
She was so captivating.
She looks a little dominant.
So, she's dumb. She was so captivating, so mesmerizing. I felt the pain and the triumph of Rose. It was incredible. Joy Woods, Jordan Tyson, they turned it out in that show. They were so major. And Megan Hilty and Jen Samard and Death Becomes Her, the gay musical that we need, because these right-wingers are like, pow, 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 and we need to be like, maggots, unite.
Yeah, right.
I loved it. Jasmine in Boop, she bippity-boppity-booped and was so good in that show. Okay. And then Nicole loves Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson, so she can choke on a fat fucking dirty dick.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Can I say that on this?
Yeah,
wait, you can say anything you want.
I do want to ask you, had that controversy not happened, which she did deny, you know, she denied till the day is long, would you feel the same way?
Okay. I love when the Pussycat Dolls were on Sabrina the Teenage Witch the college years. So that will always be iconic. Yeah.
Okay. I remember that.
They sang in the cafe. Sully Moon Frye was like gagging for that, you know, back in the day. So I'll always live for that. I think her voice is so good. And she's a trained theater performer. Like she, the breath control, it's undeniable, the talent.
Yes.
Undeniable. My opinion probably would have been different.
Okay.
However, my Norma
Things
Desmond,
don't just fall out of a coconut tree. They
right. We live in the context.
In the context.
We live in the context. But also, I saw it 2 days after the controversy, so I was really bent out of shape.
Oh, you were in your feelings.
And I was like, I can't get a refund. Like, I want to go see Mandy Gonzalez. Like, and Mandy's everything. Mandy did my show stage fright, sang down. I was like, this is my Norma. But let me tell you, the Norma Desmond I need, I don't need Norma doing pussy pops and cartwheels, okay? Let's leave that to the girls. Right. At the club. I need Norma Desmond to be Glenn Close, turning and giving a look. I saw Glenn Close at the Palace Theater.
Wow.
She came out for that song, With My Love, you know? And she comes out.
Yes.
Single spotlight on her face. Wow. Just the curtain. She turns
the
audience.
She was in kabuki makeup.
Baby, spooky. She turns the audience. She looks. Music hasn't even started yet. Standing ovation. From a look. Glenn Close, give her the Oscar.
Yes.
I know Oscars are for film, but give her an Oscar for that. Where's the movie?
I mean, she's been
or
nominated.
Don't, and
will admit, I was kind of a Scherzinger pusher for the Tonys. I kind of feel like she should have won. I will tell you, but I
and
will
that's
not
why you're
debate.
Wearing this red hat.
It's coded. I will just say that. The performance is exquisite. I'm not debating that. That's
the
not a
performance.
Debate. It was
incredible.
It was the best performance. It was the best performance. But I have an agenda too, Marty. Mm. And my agenda is this. I do not believe that people should win more than a few Tonys.
Oh, you do have that feeling.
Yeah. I don't think that she needs another Tony. And we need more Broadway stars. Because the economics of Broadway need people who can say that they are Broadway entities. And now Nicole is a Broadway entity. For better or for worse, she's going to come back and be in a show, and there's going to be money behind that. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too much of a Kris Jenner, but I just see like jobs and money and another show that
capitalism.
She can do.
Okay, well, as long as you're not a Caitlyn Jenner, I support. But what I need from her, because she's very talented, and I hear what you're saying. What I need from her is to publicly, with her chest, say, I support the trans community, I support immigrants, and I do not stand by the values of the post that I comment on.
Yeah.
I need a full throat, because we are living in a time where there's no middle ground. There's no, there's no playing it safe. People, literally lives are on the line and who you vote for directly impacts that. And so I need her with her full chest to say what her values are.
Yeah. And that's fair, especially in a time right now that we live in. We expect more from our public figures. I wanted to ask you, because you've been doing drag for quite some time now, you know, sometimes we start as artists and we don't expect our art to become political, to be political. We do it for the love of it. Was there like a moment where you're like, okay, drag for me is also now
something bigger.
Something bigger. Or was it always like part it from the moment first time in drags, was it always part of that?
Okay, I tell this story all the time and I think it's important.
So we should be asking different questions is what you're saying.
Well, I've never heard this story.
Do your research.
Google me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I started doing drag when I was very, very young. I'm in my late 30s now. I started very, very young. And, you know, at the time, like, you know, I look back at my drag career, and there's certainly things where I was like, wow, that was a big mistake. No. You know, and I think I look to, like, comedians like Sarah Silverman and Chelsea Handler and how their comedy has evolved. And low-hanging fruit is low-hanging fruit. Be smart with your comedy. And so I like how their comedy's evolved. I think mine has, as a drag artist, there's certainly things in my, like, early drag career that I'm like, oh my god, that was, like, not the moment, you know? But I always, like, maybe in, like, 2009, I started getting involved with the Ali Forney Center for Homeless LGBTQ Youth, and I'm now on their board of directors. But I was very young when I got involved with them. But I wasn't doing it out of politics. I was doing it because I believed we should be supporting our queer youth who need help. And so I started volunteering with them, whatever. When I got, like, super political, it was a literal out of a movie light bulb moment. I was doing a gig. It was when you know, the Nazi president first came down the escalator and said all this horrible stuff about immigrants and whatever. And then Mike Pence came in to pick whatever. So I was on stage and I think you have to talk about the seriousness of it, but you also have to make fun of them. Yeah. You know,
like it's really important.
We have to laugh through trauma. So I was doing the drag thing and making fun of him and how, you know, whatever. And the owner of this venue, which has since closed, Vodka Soda Bottoms Up, is the venue. Wow. And he said to me, he was like, I think you're going to make alienate our straight audience members. And as a voter, I feel uncomfortable. And I was like, well, first of all, I love everybody. If you're coming to see my show, you are welcome.
Yeah.
However, if I'm doing the show in a queer space, the straight people's fragile egos do not matter to me.
Right.
Because you can go to any bar, any nightclub, and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But we oftentimes can only feel safe in certain places. And then I said to him, as a voter, are you profiting off of queer people and voting against their interests? Shame, shame. So I handed him the microphone, I grabbed my purse, and I walked down the street to another venue to move my show, which I did. And as I was walking, I said, I have a microphone in my hand every single day, and I have, for whatever reason, people follow me. What am I doing? What am I doing with this microphone? What am I doing? And I called a friend of mine who was on city council, and I said, what am I doing? What do I do? I don't know about these issues. How do I educate myself? And he said, go to your local Democratic club. And so turns out that local Democratic club was run by Mickey Spillane, who is the name of the bar that the guy owns. And they're like not real Democrats. They were pay for play, not great, not good, not doing service for the community, not helping. So I said, I'm going to start my own Democratic club and I'm going to take them out. And every elected official told me that would never happen. They are so powerful. That will never happen. Mm. And I said, watch me. And their club doesn't exist anymore. And the club I started is one of the most powerful in the city of New York. And all the electeds love to come to it now.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to, like, bring people in to learn about local politics, because local politics is the bedrock of democracy. We can fight what's happening federally on the local level. State legislative bodies, especially, but also municipal bodies. New York has an operating budget of $110 billion, which is larger than most states. Our police budget is larger than many countries' military budgets. Like, what the fuck is that about? So you can impact change on the local level. And so that's how I got involved in politics. And it just kind of, like, snowballed from there.
Yeah. I love the story of, you know, the establishment basically saying, like, good luck, girl, try it over here. We've been here for so long. But it's so interesting that because I'm sure at some point the people that started that club started with great intentions. And it's funny how money and access to power really kind of bastardize things and pollute them so that because, you know, I feel like in 10 years, you know, someone might come to us and be like, hey, the way that you're doing it kind of sucks. for us. And we have the choice then to be like, oh, how do we incorporate you into this and change with it, or be changed by you taking us over? You know what I mean? Which is, in your case, what happened. Do you see that at all? Like, the fact that you've been doing it for as long as you've been doing it now, do you ever feel like, oh, these young ones are pushing me out of my comfort zone?
They're feisty.
They should push me out of my comfort zone, because yeah. We're human beings, and we are supposed to, as human beings, constantly learn and evolve as human beings. So, like, this notion of, like, when you look at politicians, you're like, oh my God, you used to do this. Okay, if we're protesting and we're pushing for something and fighting for something, the goal is to get that politician to the side we want, you know? So say, you know what, you fucked up before, but now you're doing the right thing. Great. Good. The protests work. But with this younger generation, I'm constantly learning from them and how they're out there. Like, they're amazing to me. And there's some things where I'm like,
girl.
Okay. But a lot of it, I'm like, oh, work. I can learn from that. And then you look at, like, the organization that I'm talking about was 125 years old. So I'm looking at it from the lens of, like, how AOC fully went up there with her full fucking chest the other day for Zohran Mamdani, who's running for mayor, and was like, we need to take on the establishment. We could have beat the big, beautiful bill had three members of Congress not died in office because of their age. Like,
That was a staggering realization when I read about that, because it makes you really realize how we are, like, dealing with, like, it's life and death. Literally everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Marty, I did a, when I have to say, I think we should share it on the Tres Leches account. When I was in grad school, I did a piece about Marty.
Oh my God, that was so long
Marty
ago.
The club. It was so long ago. It's really good. It's really, really good. So I think we should share it, because it's a snapshot of, you know, of your early political energy and the scrappiness with which you were approaching it. And it's the same gall and gumption to get up on a stage and do drag. I think you just took that energy and just shifted it. And that's why you have had such momentum and people listen to you, because you walk, like, through it, like, with a machete. You know what I mean? You're just, like, cutting through the jungle is everything you do.
Oh, with charisma, really uniqueness, following you today, Juan.
Exactly.
I have a question for Marty. When you discuss, like, creating your own Democratic club, and are you in drag when you're doing that? Or are you Marty and then not that?
I mean, girl, it depends if there's a gig after, okay?
Because I see. Right, well, I didn't know if Democratic, if the gig was also like in drag, I'm more powerful, or whatever, you know?
But also,
you know, like, when I ran for office, it made, like, national news because drag queen running, whatever. Right. And People Magazine and all these things, the headline was, like, drag queens running for city council. And so our team went out to them and said, do a follow-up story, because, yes, I'm a drag queen. That's my job. But I'm a gig worker. 1099, which means my taxes are probably higher, which means I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck and not have access to health care, to have to fight landlords for equitability. I have that experience, which so many people have within different industries, right?
Yeah.
So I said, go back and talk about the issues we're fighting for: housing, healthcare, education, all of these things, because my drag experience has helped shape those platforms. But yeah, I'll go to, like, a political event and drag. I don't give a fuck. Like, and if somebody has a problem with it, fall back and sit down and go swim in the East River, bitch. Like, I don't have time.
Go get E. coli.
Go get E. coli.
It is interesting that the ways in which we the progress that we do make and the rights that we do have and share a lot of times come from people that are the most marginalized, and they don't get the due credit a lot of times, because it's like, sometimes, you know, it's like, yes, they're so focused on you being a drag queen, but they're not focused on the fact that you do know, like you said, you are a gig employee. So who better to represent you than a bitch that actually does what you do, just in a wig and some heels, you know? But I feel like sometimes identity politics get in the way so much in a negative way. It's like, they could never understand me. And it's like, no, I hear you, but I actually understand you a lot more than the people that you think understand you.
Mm-hmm. I think it was an uphill battle to show the political world that it wasn't a gimmick. It wasn't a publicity stunt. It wasn't a joke. It was like, why can't all voices be heard at the table? Mm-hmm. Why can't multiple industries be at the table? And that's the same thing. They still come for AOC, who I think is going to run for president. They still go, oh, she was just a bartender. Just a bartender. Do you know how hard it is to be a bartender? Do you know how hard it is to be a waiter or a bus person? It is such a hard job. Yeah. And why can't those voices be at the table, you know?
Yeah.
So I think people, you're a barista, get involved in politics. You clean houses, get involved in politics. You're driving a taxi cab, get involved in politics, because
you can become the next Hamilton.
But also, I think we also have to reframe it too, because I feel like politicians are gig employees. They're employed as long as we need them to be. You know what I mean? This superiority of like civil servants, like, no, baby, you actually are just as important, you know, as the person that's serving us. That's like, well, maybe not as important, like in affecting our day to day lives with like, you know, legislation. But to think that they're above us because they're helping us is such a weird. It's almost like, well, you have to listen to me. It's like, no, you have to listen to us.
That's right.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I also don't like career politicians. Like, why is this your career? Know when it's time to pass
only
the baton.
Only three Tonys, only four terms.
There you go. If you can't have multiple Tonys, you can't have multiple terms.
Right.
Mitch?
Yeah. Well, okay, but I'm glad that you are being celebrated, but can we have a moment to celebrate the 2025 Grand March of the New York City Pride Parade?
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
It feels right.
You're like Dolly Levi.
Truly.
And you're in good company. Wait, let's see who else. Okay, DJ Lena.
DJ Lena is a fucking icon. Listen, to all you people listening on the internet, radio, Spotify, whatever, TikTok.
Wherever
TikTok,
you get your podcast.
Get your podcast. DJ Lena is that bitch. Okay, I love her. Yeah. Legend. Getting her flowers.
Finally. Yeah. There's actually a really beautiful video. Wait, you have to watch her interview with Johnny on his show on Logo. It's spectacular. Okay, so then we've got the Transformative Schools is
incredible.
As a unit is being represented as one of the Grand Marshals.
Incredible.
Karine Jean-Pierre.
No.
Is that not true?
No, she is, but.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
I'm not about it.
Work.
I mean, listen, it's
not
a big deal.
Not the
well, let's talk
the
Turkey.
Real
what's,
the Real Housewives of Grand Marshals.
Listen, regardless, it's a big deal.
I think if you stand at a podium,
press secretary,
every day and say these are your beliefs and this is what you're fighting for, and then when you get a book deal, you denounce it to sell books.
Oh. Yeah. Whoa. I mean, well, that's what you're talking about. That's the...
And power corrupts. And
power corrupts.
Power corrupts. And
don't
once you
children.
Have it, you will have to hold on to it. Exactly.
Easy.
And then finally, the last honoree is Elisa Crespo, who works for Stonewall, right?
Elisa Crespo is a good friend of mine, and I love her so much. She was the first trans woman to run for city council in New York. She ran for the seat that Richie Torres ended up getting before he was in Congress. Boo Richie Torres. He's a piece of shit. We can get into that if you want.
We could.
He's a real fucking dingle dong. But Elisa ran. She's incredible. She then became the executive director of the New Pride Agenda, an amazing organization working for legislation to protect our trans community. They led the legislation on sex worker decriminalization. An incredible organization. And now she's the executive director of the Stonewall Foundation. She really is...
the real deal.
She's the real...
You're in good company.
Her and Lena... two incredible women being honored, transformative schools, providing safe spaces, work. And I understand why, you know, is
she
also
who shall
being
not
honored.
Be named. Uh-huh.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. But
here's the thing. Also, this is the beauty of community, and this is the beauty of, like, not... because I feel like when the rest of the world kind of looks at the LGBTQ plus community, they see us as a monolith. Like, we're all the same. We all think the same. We all feel the same. And I think it's good to hold each other accountable,
yeah,
you know,
of
and,
course.
And I know some people call it like calling out, but I'm like, someone came up with the term call in, because it's like, no one is beyond forgiveness. No one is beyond. Well,
that's
maybe,
very
maybe some people, but yeah, very not
that
on
just
my
fixed
watch.
My life.
But it's true. I feel like a lot of us, even when we call people out, it's not to say they're bad people. It's just to say you did something that doesn't sit right with the fight that people have put on before you to even to give you this kind of honor and,
yeah,
and opportunity and space to inhabit. So I totally, I mean, you might get in trouble, but you know, it's not because you don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this doesn't discredit her history-making run as the press secretary. That is monumental and history-making. And that does not discredit that. That does not take it away. That is representation. That is to have that representation at the White House podium every day. Monumental. And calling in is exactly right. Me saying this is not like, fuck her. It's me saying, hey, you're supposed to be on our side. What's more important, selling books or being on the right side of history? And it's like I said earlier, when we protest and we call these things into the, you know, forefront, it's to get them to where we are. Barack Obama, love him down, didn't support marriage, and then became the biggest advocate.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because we pushed.
Yes. And there are shades to this. It's nuanced. You know, like, you have to take
it's never black and white
picture. Exactly.
That's why I don't love when politicians are running and people are like, well, that's not what you said in 1982. And it's like, well, I hope not. I hope I don't feel the same way I did in 1982. Like, allow people to change. But, you know, it's again, it's like,
I'll give her the grace to
change her mind. Yeah.
Sure.
That's great. I wanted to ask you, because you do such a great job of working in an activist space, but you also do it, which in a way that I think is probably the most effective to change hearts and minds, and that is through humor, love, and laughter. Do you notice a difference when, you know, maybe not even being in drag, but just the performance of, you know, being that persona, because you're Marty, but then you're Marty. Do you feel that that gets through sometimes a little better when you are, you know, throwing a couple shady remarks, or you're, you know, you're making levity out of very serious situations?
I mean, I always say this, if they take our joy, they win. And so, as scary as things are, sometimes you gotta just like that fucking Trump parade was such a waste of money.
Oh my God.
It's so stupid. But that video of the tank
squeaking through? No quality control? No
WD-40? Nobody showed up to your birthday. It was like my third grade birthday. No one showed up. No one came. I was sitting there. I was like, can somebody get an oil cake?
But you had cake.
Yes.
I had cake. I still have cake, honey. Okay. Bottoms unite. Let me tell you, I was like, we have the biggest military budget in the world, and we can't oil the damn tank. It's
unacceptable.
Woo, baby.
Yeah, but you know what? Give them what they want, and then he got it, and now it all worked out, I think, in a way to just kind of
the
show.
People, you mean give the people what you wanted? Because nobody was asking for a military parade.
No, I know,
Donald
but
Trump's
I just
birthday.
Mean, like, I'm saying, like, you know, he wanted that thing and he got it. And, like, it was so beautiful to see and kind of amazing, like, the turnout of the protest while that was happening in tandem.
It was very that. Look what's happening over at Sharon's party, honey.
Like,
they're all at Sharon's party.
It was great. That was a bit that, you know, we're living in it. But I wonder if, like, in years they will talk about, like, this day that, like, you know, this fucking...
Absolutely.
I don't even think they will. I think
no?
it'll just be forgotten. I don't think so.
I don't think so. So I've been watching a lot of, like, there's these shows called Turning Point on Netflix. I love history. So there was one about the Cold War, like the Cold War that we're still fighting with Russia.
Get a coat.
and all so many conflicts around the world started because the United States and Russia can't be just be big girls mm-hmm. and fight one on one. They got to get their sisters and their cousins into it. That, and I was watching one about Vietnam, and there's so many striking similarities to lots of events in history of like protest days and things like that. And I'm like, oh wow, in the 70s the girls were up in arms just like we are today, just about different things. And it was like, it was sad, but it was also really sweet to see like that people will always come out to do what's right at the end of the day, even in the darkest mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
People will come together and fight for what's right. You know,
Juan says this a lot to us, and I'm always reminded that, like, sometimes we talk about the coconuts that are falling in the context from the tree around yeah. us now.
Yeah.
But that, like, he's like, but there's has been this has happened before. Yeah. It's yeah. like we're just, well, some of us, but like, you know, I'm still in my 27 plus years, and all of you are in your late 30s, and so right. you're experiencing history.
You're in your 20s. Work.
I'm in, no, and you're 20 and times we're two. Experiencing history. Marty, you cut. Marty, I can't. Did you cut? Sorry.
How old are you, bitch?
I can't hear Marty. Something's up. I don't know. Talk to these people, we're all experiencing history. We're all experiencing history in real time now, and it's right. like Juan will always say, but this has also happened before, and they yes. got through it, and it I'm sure it felt as bad as it did then, but like the renaissance and the cycle of it will continue yeah. and this is just a part of life, and we will prevail. Like, it will get better
eventually. I think this yeah. time is a little different. I think it's gonna take a long time
sure,
to get
sure.
back, but this is the largest protest in American history. 12 million people. The largest. And let me tell you, okay, let me tell you about how we really turn it. Okay, they're out there with the little red caps and their little Jesus. Yes. Nothing against Jesus, he seems like a good guy, but like, they're a little, you know, they're a little muck, like, oh, pray or whatever. Bitch, uh-huh. go drink the baptismal water, you're thirsty. But at our uh-huh. protest, well, they were playing Freddie Mercury, and I was, right.
celebration.
Baby, that's why they
joy.
Call me Mr. Farron. Hi. They were really yeah. like, I was dancing in the street in the rain.
Yeah. That's
by
the thing
way,
I don't
value.
Wait, that's I think I confused something that I said earlier. I was saying that they're never going to remember the military parade, not that protest.
Oh.
The military parade will just be a blip. No
yeah,
one will remember
the day.
That happened.
I meant just like No King's Day in general.
I think that they'll remember
yeah,
both,
see.
But I think they'll remember the parade because of No King.
Sure.
That's what I'm
Do you
saying.
Know what I mean? Like,
it's
in the context of like nobody showed up to her party, but everybody was across the street
yes,
getting
were.
Their life. And that's one of the things that I love about protests, like when you're actually there, you see just how beautiful the community around you
oh,
is. Whereas like on TV, they're like, they're breaking things. And it's like,
yeah. oh
no,
my
we're
God.
Not. There's like a couple people breaking shit, girl. But yeah,
my
sure.
Mom.
We're not breaking shit. We're waving our signs that say Jonathan Groff is the only king I like. Calm the fuck down. Like, oh my God.
You're telling
the
people where you live, Marty. You're telling people where you live by that.
The only people breaking shit are those, you know, the... Those men.
It's,
yes.
You know, yeah.
those they're men.
Those men.
Those them men.
Yeah, and also, if people were throwing bricks at Stonewall, I mean, we're over here celebrating that, so maybe the girls need to break an Apple store or two.
Baby, let me tell you, pride is a riot. Throw a brick.
Save a cowboy.
Throw a brick. Shit a brick. Whatever you gotta do.
You know, my mom actually called me, and it was like 9:30, 10 p.m. It was like an odd time for her to call me, and so I thought like, oh, like I'm gonna answer this, and she was like, hi, and I was like, okay, hello, hi, mom, what's up? I let her know, like I don't do the polite thing with parents, like she will hear the why are you calling in my voice, right? So I'm like, what's
that's
up?
Your mother.
Right.
I know. Yeah. Wait, are you saying like
that's
I shouldn't
their,
talk, or like
that's their that's, relationship? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. No, it's giving very like, this is my time. This is like a weird time. And then she's like, hi, Ian, you know, were you at the protest today? And I was like, no, I had two shows. And she was like, oh, okay, good. And then I got so upset with that answer. And I was like, okay. She's like, well, because I just saw what you posted on your story. Should have never restricted her. I should mute her for sure.
Oh.
But I was like, oh, let her see, like, what I post. It's just, like, me being thoughty, pretty much. And, like, anyway. And she was like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, the Trumpy thing, like, you don't know. I don't want you going there at all. And she got very motherly on me.
Uh-huh.
And I got so pissed. I didn't let her know, but I was like, okay, well, I didn't. And, like, whatever. But it made me now just on, like, I wanted to be there. If I didn't have two shows, I would have been there, Mom. Mm-hmm. Because to what you're saying, Johnny, is she is sitting there watching what the media is showing. And right. so she really does think, and I get it, she's our parent, and I'm not complaining that my mom, one, is still here, that she is the mom she is. I love her to death, but it was just this moment of, oh, you're seeing something on the television that isn't really what it is at
right.
all.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so it's just like it riled up in me this one, I wanted to rebel against my mom, but then also I wanted to I would have been there if I didn't have two shows and was
throw a brick,
girl.
Ian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know how to throw.
You Grubhub some Sonic to your mother. I don't know where she lives, but that sounds about right.
Pollo Tropical would be more what I would say.
Okay, well, Grubhub her that and tell her to breathe, and it will be okay. Hold on. John, can you bring me my computer charger? I don't want to... I'm doing the internet stuff.
Wait, can I ask about John?
Can I ask about you?
How's love life?
Can I ask
life?
About the husband?
He's really hot.
He is.
That's great. You're 80% there. How's the other 20%?
He's very funny. He's very funny. He makes me laugh, which is good. We giggle a lot. And my favorite, let me tell you my favorite thing about him. He's always, sometimes when like life is stressful or hectic, I'll just grab the dog. We have two dogs. I'll grab the dogs and I'll be like, okay, we're doing like a 30-second dance party. And he's like, okay. And we just like dance.
Oh, that's like,
vibe it out. And
that's
he,
like
rolls
Carrie and Burger.
He rolls with that? It. Yeah. Oh, Burger broke up on a post-it note. Don't you do it.
It's funny. It is so interesting when we have partners that are just so much more, when you're like a performer or when you're someone that just has so much in you to like give to the world, that it's so nice to have like a calming, you know, weighted blanket around.
Oh,
it's really nice.
Really ground you and to make you feel like, you know, that yes anding of doing the dance party. Like there would be people that are like, why are we dancing? We don't need to be dancing right now.
Ugh.
Like, 30 I think seconds.
And it's like, just fucking dance.
Yes.
Dance.
Like that moment, we go, Marty, you have it, go.
I'm going to embarrass him, but I also love when I'll like be walking the dogs or running errands and I'll be walking up our stairs in the building and I'll hear him belting show tunes.
Oh.
Yes. And then I walk in and I'm like, would she do it? It's
what,
so cute.
What is she belting? I want to know the repertoire.
All of it. My Days. Heart of Stone.
Oh!
Okay.
Sweating now. Now I'm sweating.
I remember the first time I heard it. It was when we were, like, first starting dating, and he was taking a shower, and I was lying in his bed, and I could hear him in the shower, and I said, he's singing Come From Away.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what the fuck? And it was it's just so cute and so pure.
What does your husband do?
Communications.
Mm.
With
and
you,
in relationships,
like
you have to do that.
Like for a bank.
Got it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Can I? The fact that My Days and then they have musical theater in common. One thing I love about you, Marty, is that you are a theater kid.
Yes.
You're a theater kid.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
Yeah.
If you go to a Marty Cummings show, you are going to have the Liza experience. The full Liza experience.
I love Liza. I love, you know, I met her two times.
Wow.
The first time, Palace Theater, Liza at the Palace, and my boyfriend at the time was in Hair on Broadway, and they'd just done their Vogue shoot. We went into Andre Leon Talley.
Wow.
The Palace. And he goes, oh, you were in, I remember you. Your shoot was so good. Why don't you come backstage with me after? And there was like a big party backstage.
No.
So we went to, it was literally like 2 seconds. Like, Liza, congratulations. Like, you're amazing. And then Andre, you know, went in and then we just hung out, whatever.
Yeah.
The other time, Gavin Creel, mm-hmm. many, many years ago. I was like a drunkard, you know, I've been sober for many years now, but I, you know, and I needed a job and, you know, my boyfriend was paying for everything, I needed a job. And Gavin was just the most lovely, incredible, kind human being. And he said, oh, I bet you I can get you a job with my publicist, Amy. I said, oh, that would be great. So he got me this job. And Amy and I are now friends, but I got fired from this job because I stole all of the press contacts so I could get onto red carpets to do interviews of the Broadway stars I loved. And at the Drama Desk Awards in 2009, I was friends with Tiger Martina, who was one of Liza's dancers in this.
Yes, I've worked with Tiger before.
Love Tiger. And Liza wasn't really doing interviews. And I grabbed Tiger and I said, please. And she came back, and it's still on YouTube, and I'm 21 with a high ponytail and a bow tie, because I had long hair, I had hair down on my shoulders, and a high ponytail, like I was in Bring It On, with a bow tie, though, a brown bow tie. Who was she? And Liza, and it was the most joyful, it will never happen again. And
worth getting fired over, worth getting fired over.
It was so worth it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Well, also so fierce for you to get that contact list because you're like, honey, I ain't stopping here. I'm going for the gold. Like, yeah. I'm getting on those carpets. And that is the chutzpah.
That's what started my career. I still have people come up to me and say, I watched your videos when I was in college.
When you said that, I was like, that's how she did it? I live for that lore drop, as they
say.
That's
how I became Mari Cummings, was that. Yeah, and it all is because of Gavin Creel.
What an angel, a guardian angel for so many in the community, and especially in the Broadway community. It's so sweet to hear stories like that because long after we're gone, those are the things that I hope people hold on to. Like the acts of care and kindness, you know, especially to a young queer person.
When I was running for office, he lived a block outside of my district, but he was walking. He sent me... when he passed away, I was looking back at these text messages, and he had taken a picture outside of like the grocery store or something of my face, you know, my campaign poster. And he wrote to me and he was like, I am so proud to see from the 19-year-old that I met to who you are today. And he was like, it just fills my heart with joy. And then on the actual election day, he sent me this really beautiful text. And it just like... After all those years later, to send that, it was just, you know, he really did start it by getting me that job.
Yeah. That's
amazing. He really is a guardian angel for so many
people. So many people. So many people have their Gavin story.
Yeah.
And him by doing that, and Patina Miller, Patina Miller really started my drag career because she...
Wait a minute. I did not know this.
She had gotten booked in Sister Act in London.
Wow.
And I had a car at the time. She asked if I could help her move her stuff into storage. And she knew I was like dabbling in drag, whatever. So we went to the storage, and then there was 2 bags left. And she said, oh, no, those are for you. And I said, what? And she gave me a giant bag of dresses and a giant bag of heels. And she said, start your journey.
Oh, wow.
And it started. And then when I did 30 Rock, they didn't like any of the outfits they had at Silver Cup for me. So I said, I have something. Uh-huh. And I ran home because I lived in Long Island City at the time. I said, can I go home and come back in a minute? And they said, sure, to get to that. And so I wore a Patina Miller dress when I did 30 Rock.
And since you're both sample sizes, it was perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's so funny.
I love that
you said that because do you remember I used to do like these videos where I would dress up as female characters on Instagram?
Oh, yes.
The start of that was because I was helping Dorinda Medley, Housewives of New York, clean out her closet.
Work.
And she gave me some pieces and I had them at the house and I was like, You know, I don't think she gave me, she didn't have any wigs, but I did have a wig just sitting around, and I was like, okay, I've got the Dorinda shirt, I've got this hat, this hair, and I just, and it was like, it's so funny, those little moments where you don't realize will turn into like really big things for you.
It's so funny. We're all like working to kind of, you know, get out of the closet, but there was so much there for us to use.
Closet, yes.
Just had you to know, get it before it got the Salvation Army.
Jesus but Christ.
But then you have to, when you become successful or whatever, I think success can mean many things. I don't think it's monetary. I think a lot of people think success is monetary. I don't think it's monetary.
Totally.
I think success can mean many things. I'm very grateful.
You and Juan
to-
will have an argument about that off the record.
But. I was saying it can be. It can be.
Monetary helps. I love my I'm not gonna I will get that bag, honey, okay? Mm-hmm. I will get my bag. But
yes,
I think it's very important to pay it forward. So if there's like a young performer who needs whatever, I will remember Gavin and Patina and what they did for me and do what I can to help out. And then I had a really good friend of mine, my friend Rob, an amazing makeup artist, but when I was first getting sober, he had this pair of Louboutins, and I really wanted a pair of Louboutins, but I was very poor and whatever. And so he, for my 1 year sober anniversary, gave me that pair of Louboutins in the box, and he said, here's your first pair, and when you can afford to buy your first pair, you give these to someone who can't afford them and wants them. So I got to the point in my career where I could pay for Louboutins, and I gave that pair to a baby drag queen who was getting sober, and I told her the same thing. And now that those Louboutins have traveled to, like, I think, like, seven, like, people at this point.
Wow. Are they still red bottoms at this point? Because that feels like...
I never wore them. I never wore them. I kept them in the box.
And it's like a symbolic thing. Yeah. Oh, that's
You know, speaking of, you were like, have these shoes made it to, these shoes have made it to seven, blah, blah, blah. And it just reminded me, as terrible, such a bad host, but a great one now, is that you are the first drag queen to hit all seven continents, baby girl.
Baby, everyone, every single one. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
All of them. All of them.
How crazy. If I knew what a continent was, I would probably understand how important that is, but I don't. But I get that, like, ooh, that's fun. So, like, you've been to England.
Okay, well, that's a country.
I know, Rose.
She's spitting. She's doing bits.
England is actually, like, a division of a country. Like, it's the United Kingdom.
Correct. Yes.
Which is comprised of four countries.
Correct. Correct.
Come on, geography lessons.
England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland.
Thank you. Yes.
Love that. When you started to travel and drag, was it like kind of one of those things where you're like, I'm so excited I can use this to one, go on vacation, and two, make money at the same time? Or was it like a gig is a gig is a gig?
It was totally accidental. This is another friend helping me. I was performing in Bob the drag queen, and I used to do a monthly show in Philadelphia. And
what was
it called? What was it called?
Oh, sorry. Only if there was a title, you know, but if we don't need it. We don't need
it. What was it called? I live for that.
I don't remember. But
okay. Great. Great.
We got booked to perform in Fort Lauderdale together for Pride to do our show. And she had gotten a phone call to go and do something.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
And so I got an email. She was in her room on the phone doing things. You know, she has.
Uh-huh.
And I got an email that said, hey, Bob the Drag Queen is no longer available to do this. She had suggested and referred you to do this cruise gig. And so I'm like, Roberta, why are you not doing the gig?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. I'm busy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Go win. You will. And she did. And so I got hired. And I have now traveled the whole world, Antarctica, Australia, the Middle East, Asia, Africa. And it's just been like the most wild experience to take drag around the world, to take my version of drag around the world. And like, I've gotten to see like the coolest shit. Like the pyramids have a Pizza Hut KFC combo across the street, guys.
This is what I want to hear. Yes, like give me like, all of that.
Okay, so I don't think people realize the pyramids are. Have you been?
Yeah, they're on another continent.
Yeah,
Africa.
That would be correct.
So the pyramids are in the middle of Cairo. The city's built around it. So you're there and you're like, ooh, baby, the pharaohs.
Yes.
Come on. Come on, titanium. I am titanium. Yeah. So whatever. So then you're like at the Sphinx, right? And she's like a big old like,
yeah. At a gay club?
Her nose is missing, get a doctor. So you're looking at the Sphinx. And then when you turn, you know, you want to turn away from the Sphinx so you can get your picture with the Sphinx behind you. But when you're getting the picture, you look directly at a KFC Pizza Hut combo. Wow. And I'm like, girl. And this. It gagged the fuck out of me. I was like, can we get a bucket of chicken with our mystery? Right. It was insane. And when I was in Jordan, Petra was amazing. But when I was in Jordan, it's illegal to, like...
eat KFC?
To be a faggot. So, they told me... because we knew with this company, Vakaya, that I perform with, that we wanted to get me to all 7 continents. And so Jordan is part of Asia. And to be considered to perform, you have to like be in drag, whatever. But I had to stay on the ship, which was in the port, because if I got under the gangway and they saw me, I would be arrested for being in drag. So I stood on the top of the ship outside to do my little number or whatever.
Wow, it's giving very... it's very it's like Michigan and Canada when they were protesting, and I was like, did you guys know that there's just like a... there's like a lake and it separates Canada from whatever the other... is it Michigan?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Detroit is right across the river from Canada.
Like Michigan.
I didn't.
We are great lakes.
The name of the city is called Victoria.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Named after a British new queen. Every day.
Yes, from the Victorian era.
Marty, just to give you some context... when I was in Mamma Mia and you and I first met...
here we go again.
Correct. I was at Ariba, and I'm at a dinner, and a friend of mine said, hey, something, Corey Greenan, he was in the cast. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the West Coast to Canada tomorrow. And me thinking I was so smart, I was like, what? And he was like, I'm going to the West Coast of Canada? And I was like, oh. I was like, you mean like, just like, up, like just to the left of Buffalo? And he was like, and now everyone's paying attention. And
yeah, then of course.
They're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, Canada's right here above us. And like, so like just left of Buffalo. Like, so like that west, like, is that what you mean? Just wester? And he was like, Ian, he's like, what do you think is all of this like above the rest of America? And I was like, terrain.
Who do you think owns the terrain?
Well, and then that's what they said. They're like, but you like not owned by anybody. And I was like, oh, I just thought it was like land, like just like the forests and stuff. And they're like, yes.
But who? Oh, okay, we're gonna do geography. Okay, where? Okay, so British Columbia and the Yukon Territory, the Northwest Territory, they're all to the west.
The West Coast. And yes.
Right. Right.
The Yukon connects with Alaska because Alaska is not connected to the United States. You understand? Okay. So
you understand. You understand.
Yeah, you understand. What was? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Was it Chris? Yes.
What was the question? Okay. No. I have learned more since that day. Yeah. I've now learned that thing. And anyway, it's a story, and it's a great story for the ages. But that is where I learned that the rest of what's on top of what the hat is, the hat, America's hat, is Canada.
Listen, if Ian went on a Vakaya cruise, honey, she would be like,
I'd
where
be arrested.
Are we?
This is you should come with us. You should come with us.
I've been
we
wanting
could do
to
a
go.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah. You can do Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
We can. Wait. By the way, I feel like we should watch the new Mamma Mia tour. The woman playing Donna is exquisite. I've never
amazing.
Been singing like this
I did
in my
see
life.
Her,
we should
yeah.
we should do a live reaction to this in a minute because
okay.
I have it. But
oh,
yeah,
the winner
but I have a question about Vakaya. It's classier, right? It's classier than the other than their your competitors. Correct. It's like a little bit. There's. You know? Is
and
it
if
that?
It's not just lie, Marty, because we need to get sponsored.
Well, I'm the Grand Marshal. You think I'm going to do some busted ass shit?
Yeah. Oh.
Right, exactly. She's a professional.
So there's 3 tiers of Vakaya.
Like
the
a
big
pyramid.
Ships, which are like traditional, you know, big ships, you know? Right. Bonnie Tyler is singing Total Eclipse of the Heart on the eclipse trip because there's going to be an eclipse happening. So she's singing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I love it.
While the eclipse
doesn't
happens.
Get more on the nose than that.
So those are the big ships. They're more like traditional, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Then I am the small ship cruise director, which are like luxe ships. So they're like 200 passengers. they're the ones who like go to Antarctica and Australia, yeah. and like we're going to Scotland, to Iceland next year. That's the one that did Jordan and the Middle East. So they're smaller, 200 passengers, more intimate. I cannot afford them.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, it's mm-hmm. like,
got it.
There's
got
like multiple look. Black tie nights, right? It's like fancy.
No.
Oh,
but
no?
Like, you dress nice, but it's okay, the people yeah. are lovely. There's this group, John, my husband calls them the Marty Army. There's this group of bears that goes on like every trip, and I love them. And there's like 20 of them. And I love bears. Bears love me. And they're like these amazing guys. And so I've traveled the whole world with them, and which is so nice, you know, and it's so intimate, and it makes the experience that much more special because they're like on vacation and enjoying their time, but they're also celebrating like we did. Okay. So for example, we went to Bora Bora and we were sailing across the Pacific for 7 days, and I'd already signed my contract and then found out that the documentary about my campaign was having its premiere at Newfest. And I didn't want to break my contract because I take those things very seriously. So I couldn't go to my premiere. So Vakaya is so amazing. They emailed the producers and Newfest without telling me and asking if they could do a premiere for me on the same night on the ship.
Oh.
And all those guys, I mean, everybody on the ship came to see the movie. But those guys... Yeah. were so, they like held me during the show or during the, because I'd never seen the documentary. I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
And they held me while I cried and had this experience. John, who's one of them, just messaged me the other day and said, 18 of us bought tickets to your show in P-Town. We can't wait to see you. And like, it's just such a joy, you know, like it's such wow. a joy.
I love bears with money. So they can make themselves, they can get there. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's nice to know they can get there. And, you know,
do you know where
getting there is half the fun.
P-Town is in Boston,
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is in Boston. That was another one that used to happen a lot for me. Sorry, I'm just kind of going back.
Okay,
got it. No, yeah, totally. I understand now.
right.
But for a while there. Also, I would just like to, in my defense, when I grew up in the Queens County in the UK, I learned a lot of.
You grew up in the UK.
I did until I was 12 years old.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's a country that...
why did you live there?
About your upbringing, not the country.
No, I know. I lived there because my dad had been living there, and that's where my mom, and she was a diplomat, and they met, and they had me and my sister. It's kind of random. He's American. Mom's from Honduras. And that's just kind of why. We were just there.
That is the plot of Evita.
Evita, wow. Rachel Ziegler, it's happening. And
it is.
Jamie Lloyd needs to stop putting people in their boxer shorts. Okay, let's come up with new ideas. But
covered in paint, covered in paint. Blood, but
what are we doing?
Also,
what are we doing?
It's giving one trick pony.
But
I will say, can people
outside.
Have a theme? Yeah.
People can have a theme. You're right. I'm sure people, you know, I think about this a lot because of what it must have felt like to experience Sondheim in real time, right? Mm. Like, as he was creating, and if you were someone who was in your late 30s, like some of you, and you're, like, getting to really experience what he was writing, like, were you like, oh, I hear Into the Woods here. Like, oh, I hear what he's doing here. The same way we could say that about, like, Lin-Manuel, who's Bob Fosse. But I'm talking in terms of music.
Okay.
In terms of, like, just something that you can listen to and you go, oh, I can really always hear their theme. Like, does Lin write music in the same way? And you can kind of maybe...
Like Andrew Lloyd Webber's songs are bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. And you're right. Let everyone have their theme for sure. But, you know, like, to me, doing, like, Sunset Boulevard on, like, Schubert Alley, doesn't really... What's happening? It just feels like... Why was my question with that production? I had a lot of questions about.
But
like,
would you
why?
Say that if you were in the production?
But I wasn't.
Okay.
But if you were, would you?
I would have been really happy with my base rate, equity, weekly rate.
Yeah.
And I probably.
Just happy to be here.
And I probably, you know what? I would have been a real. I would have made Nicole feel comfortable. And I think you would have gotten your. The speech and like the public thing that you want, Marty, if I was in the show.
Call your agent. Make it happen. I do
the name of my book. Call your agent. Make it happen.
I do like the Rachel Ziegler outside on the balcony
to
the street. I think that's really
But is everyone coming out of the house to watch it?
No.
probably filmed. Well, yeah, there's cameras. I saw on the TikTok. Yeah. There's cameras on her. TikTok showed me.
See,
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, paying what I pay to see it inside, the biggest song of the musical, and yet the bitch goes outside to sing it.
Listen, there are other
big
songs.
And I'm not calling her a bitch. I'm just using the term bitch as like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Yes. I think it makes his...
Like, oh, sorry, the people outside watching this shit for free while I'm inside and I'm watching this bitch on the screen?
And you know what? I will say, we've not all seen it, and you're right, Johnny. Until we're seated in the seats, maybe we will be lost in the experience, and we will be speaking different praises. You know what I mean?
Marty, you've seen it, the clip. Is she, because I know she's wearing in-ear monitors, so is she a cappella outside? Like, does the people outside, is there,
why are we asking Marty
music?
Like he knows?
No. I think they Marty probably knows. Pump the Marty music. Knows. They pump the music. Like,
yeah, they must pump it. They must pump
it. I don't remember. Yeah. When I saw it on TikTok.
I saw it on TikTok as well.
I don't remember if there was the music or not. I remember the camera, and I remember the wig that I could see her hairline.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is
fine. Previews.
You know, there's tariffs. Bobby pins are hard to come by.
Yeah.
Right. But she's really wonderful. I like her. I think she's very talented.
Me too.
No,
I
she
like
is.
My opinion.
And that's
I am all.
I think that's really why I asked that question, because she is so talented, and like,
so good.
It was funny because she sounded incredible when she was out on that balcony, but I was like, imagine you're just across the street eating and you see someone descend, but, and you have no idea that this is what's happening at Evita, and you just ascend. Thank you. and you see this girl come out and she just starts singing "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina." You're like, I'm just trying to have some fish and chips over here.
And she has a better seat in the house.
And everyone
than
inside
you do.
Is like,
anyway. Not a fish and chip.
But that I honestly think that's great marketing, because we're talking about it. We're asking the questions.
We're talking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Where is she? And where is she singing it?
Yeah.
And the Che is so cute.
I'm curious about
God.
The Che. You know, Hubba, like, Hubba. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, because Evita was always one of those shows for me growing up that like kind of missed me. I was always like, oh, like I know of it, but I didn't grow up with the album at all. I didn't grow up watching the movie, blah, blah, blah. Right. And once it got to me, I was like, oh, like I don't really like this sort of like pop rock opera vibey, like the singing.
Angela
I just don't
Weber,
care.
I'm telling you.
I just can't with it. Right. It's just like not my tea. And for it being kind of like rocky, like when Ricky Martin did it, I remember.
I saw
like,
him.
Oh.
I saw
him.
Yeah, one,
yeah. He fucking
I
killed
to
it.
Peter.
What?
Sorry, your audio cut out.
Oh, you
I wanted to. I wanted to Lauren Boebert. I wanted to yank it and wait. He was so hot. Oh my God, he was so hot.
But and so to that, remember, I just remember being like, oh, like he made sense of it to me, because there was a sort of raw, rocky, like a true pop rockness to him on prep. And I remember being like, oh, like it sounded better to my ear. So I am looking forward to this younger cast, or this cast of now, if
younger
you will.
Cast.
Whatever. My peers.
I really enjoy listening to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm actually starting a spin-off podcast. It's called Just Me.
I love that. Just Ian.
But truly, like, no one else, no guests. Like, I can't get anyone on the list. I need Marty to do my Democratic Club. Like, hire. I need people in.
It's just
that's so funny. There are people that do podcasts like that, and it's like it's kind of funny because they just
hilarious.
Go
hilarious.
Who?
Solomon Ray.
Solomon Ray.
For an hour and a half, just talking about absolutely nothing, talking about the cats, talking about this, what they bought, what they're doing.
Ooh, I like that. And Marty, to answer your question, because it was an important question, I was raised in South Kensington, also known as Knightsbridge. It's like down the street from Harrods.
Yeah, I know Harrods.
Anything. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I don't know if you know of that.
Well, you asked and I thought, oh, well, he's going to really appreciate, and you're not really giving me anything off of that.
No, I know Harrods. They have the Princess Diana display.
I haven't been there in a while, but I that's good to know. I'm sure it's there. Yeah.
And the Doty. Do they still have Doty up there? Maybe not.
Fayette?
Probably, because he died too. So.
Yeah.
But they have the Diana memorial, which I love Princess Diana. Okay, so Mamma Mia, the new Donna.
First Lady of America.
New Donna. Should we hear it?
The new Donna.
Carolee Carmella is always my favorite Donna.
She was my first when I joined.
She's incredible. Her Winner Takes It All turns me out. When she did my show Stage Fright, she sang it in my ear. And I had that show, I had Carolee Carmella and Beth Lovell.
So in one night?
In one night. So I had Carolee Carmella singing The Winner Takes It All in my ear. Literally, I'm standing right next to her. And then Beth Lovell singing As We Stumble Along in my ear. And I'm like prolapsing everywhere because
I'm
dying. And then we sang Mamma Mia together. It was so brilliant. Okay, the new Donna, what's her name? Because she's fantastic.
Her name is Christine Sherrill.
Give her the Tony.
Oh, I think I saw this video.
Yes, it's like in the audience.
Yes. Do you want to hear it?
Wait,
yes.
Is Mamma Mia going to be eligible for a revival, Tony, because it's the tour coming to Broadway?
Yeah, because technically it's on, I mean, it's a Broadway contract. It's the for their time on Broadway, they are a revival.
Wow.
Gagged them. Bring back that Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Marty, just for you to know, and it could just be maybe like an accent thing, Carolee Carmello.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, girl, if you ever have to say the name.
Well, how would I say it?
How did Carmella. I say it?
You were saying Carolee Carmella.
Oh, that's because I'm a bottom. Sorry. Okay, Carmella.
So you're
maybe it was Carmella, like, you know, Carmella.
That's why I was saying maybe it's just accent, but in case it wasn't, you know what I mean?
I say that John, my husband, he makes fun of me because I say things incorrectly all the time. Okay, you know the thing when the trees change colors? I don't know how to say it.
Fall?
I say foliage. And that's not what
foliage.
It is.
Foliage.
Yeah. Well, foliage is just the plants themselves.
Yeah, and
Marty,
I say,
how do you
I say water. I say draw for a drawer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
She's just got an accent.
How do you say W-O-L-F, like the animal?
Wolf.
Wolf.
Wolf,
I struggle with that. Wolf. Wolf. I don't know. It's a weird
word. So weird.
How do you say the word singer?
Oh. Listen. Let's not talk.
Marty, that's not a trick question. How do you say that word?
Singer.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Nice. Also, Marty, where are you from that you do have an accent? We're just going to skip right through that.
I'm from Maryland.
Oh, my God.
So, like,
the DMV, Maryland, Virginia.
Delaware.
Yeah. See, I know things.
So, like, I'll say, like, this is, like, an example that I do all the time. Okay. Okay. We're going to go wash our clothes down the creek in the water and then get a hoagie.
Oh.
All right. It's very kind of Philadelphia, like, Baltimore mix.
I was going to say, it's very like Kate Winslet in that.
Mary's Town.
Okay. Here is Christine Sherrill. Okay.
Okay.
Here she is. Okay. I'm going to put the volume up. Get the whole. This is what I'm talking about. This is my Rose's turn.
Oh, wow.
Wait here.
Acting!
Here, bet this right here.
Throw my shoe up there.
Okay.
Wow.
Baby.
That is Broadway. That's Broadway to me.
That's Broadway. Okay. Let me tell you. You are an actress. If you can take an ABBA song like that and make it the pain, the heartache, the feeling, to then get up. Okay, she's chasing that man. Don't ever chase a man, okay?
She's a wounded bird.
She's
Donna's
wounded.
A wounded.
These
bird.
Three men. She's wounded. And she just wants her daughter to be happy. And then at the end, the scoop is about, it's not just a belt. It's not just an option up. She's feeling it from the depths of her.
Yes.
She's going down into the depth of her body to bring it up to you, the
right.
audience. Fucking love
Only to be rivaled by Beth Levels. I love that Beth Level did to the end because Beth Levels just gave you the best glottal
of
the
time.
The winner takes it. Oh! It was so
what is a glottal?
Spectacular. It's when you close your throat on like a vowel sound. So like echo. Instead of saying like echo, you go Elephant versus
Can you do
elephant.
It in song, one of you? I don't quite understand.
Instead of being like, the winner. So, like, if we're doing a lot of no's and it's like, the winner takes it all. You're like, okay, great. The winner takes it all. It's the
like
onset. It's the onset of the beginning of the note.
Satisfying. When I see an incredible, strong, dynamic, powerful woman stand on a stage...
Marty, thank you.
And, premise. Robin Herder in Smash, when she goes, take it from the bridge. Take it from the bridge, maestro.
And she does.
And it's phenomenal. Robin Herder is a true triple threat. We don't have many left. True triple threat. She belts. She kicks. She emotes. It is brilliant. It is brilliant. It is
she was fabulous in the show.
Phenomenal. I fucking love... Okay. I love Broadway.
She is amazing.
I love theater so much. That's why I love doing my show stage right, because I will get Lilias White. I just texted her this morning. Lilias White did my show, and she said, "Oh, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna sing." And I was like, "Okay." And then she gets up there, and she goes on stage. "I want to do a number," and I was like, "Okay." She did Rain on My Parade, and it was the most. She was at therapy, the bar. The most incredible version. And then she goes, I want to do one more. And she did The Life, The Oldest Profession, which she won a Tony for. And it was just you all remember therapy, to have that raw emotion. Alice Ripley did Sunset Boulevard when she did my show. And she was present. Mm-hmm. She was honed into the character. And she fucking, I fucking love a powerful woman in Broadway.
Too,
I also love a good man, and of course the theys. I'm a they. Orville Peck just did the show, and he wanted to do. He's so nice.
So sweet.
He wanted to do a duet, which I was like, "What?" So we sang maybe this time together, and it was like I'm geeking out over theater. I love theater. Melissa Manchester's doing my show tomorrow. Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside.
Yeah.
And so I'm singing that song with Melissa Manchester, and I'm like, so I don't make a lot of money during that show, but that to me is success.
Yeah,
it is
success.
And it is success because you've been doing it for quite some time. And you've had some amazing names come through there.
Amazing.
Where can everyone see it now in its current iteration?
It's on Wednesday nights at Red Eye on 41st and 9th, but tomorrow is a Tuesday. We're doing a special appearance because Melissa has to perform at the Hollywood Bowl.
We're doing it Tuesday. And no cover, right?
No cover. Because
that's amazing.
Broadway should be accessible. And Broadway should be accessible. It's so expensive. So I want these kids or anybody, it doesn't matter, to be able to see their favorite Broadway performers. But what I love about the show is we have Tony winners, Grammy winners, Emmy winners, these big stars. But I also like to bring in people. Swings are the hardest working fucking people on Broadway.
Yeah.
Understudies are the hardest working. So I'll bring those folks in because I want them to have an opportunity to get their flowers and to shine.
100%.
And their voices are fresh.
And if they get seen by somebody that's somewhere that needs someone to star maybe next time, you know, maybe it's just such a...
Yeah.
That's what I love about New York theater scene, comedy scene, all the different scenes of art in New York. It is such a beautiful place to come and be seen and be discovered in different ways.
I had someone do the show and they sang from Wicked, and someone from Wicked happened to be there and they got called in for an audition for it because of that show.
Amazing.
Insane.
Also, you've plugged your show. When's the next cruise? When are you sailing the seas next?
I'm going to Alaska.
Oh,
okay.
On the Western Shore.
Yeah, the West
Coast. Got it.
I'm going in July. So I'm doing P-Town July 1st through 14th, and then I go to Alaska July 26th to August 8th.
Wow.
Where are you performing in P-Town?
Crown and Anchor, baby.
Fab. Yes, we love Crown and Anchor.
My show, tickets are on sale. It's called Are You There, Asteroid? It's me, Marty.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Oh, my God.
And at this time, when this airs, you will be in the parade as Grand Marshal for New York City's 2025 Pride.
Yeah. Same day.
And I'm very honored. Okay, I know where we got to wrap, but I'm going to tell this really quick story.
No, you're good.
Now I'm hyped. The Broadway girlies got me hyped up, baby.
I have a question I'm sitting on. I can't wait to ask.
Tits up. So I moved to New York on June 23rd, 2025. I was 17 years old. I went to Catholic school, and so there wasn't a lot of queer stuff going on.
Yeah.
So the Pride Parade was obviously that same week that I moved, because it's the end of June. So 17 years old, I went to my first Pride, and I saw a drag queen in person for the first time. I saw queer people joyfully together for the first time. And so now, on the 20th anniversary of me being in New York, of my first Pride, 20 years later, exactly 20 years, to be given an honor that I will never get this honor again in my life. You get it one time. And the fact that it's falling on the 20 years is that, oh, I'm getting emotional. It is so astounding. And it's that thing of, like, success is not, like, doesn't have to be monetary. Success is that, like, little, like, twink who moved to New York at 17 is now 20 years later able to do that. It just, it blows my mind.
You're closing the circle.
It blows my mind.
It's the dream that you didn't even know you had when you first came, and it's coming true, and it's so nice to see. I mean, it's one of those things where you see when I found out that you were doing that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. And, you know, just to see you go from the red carpets to, you know, to running for office and to, you know, going on every single continent in the world. It is so lovely to see someone get the life they want to have, because they're the ones getting it. Does that make sense? Like, you're not waiting for life to come to you. You're living it, and you're bringing everyone else along the ride. So I really have to say thank you for being such a beacon of hope, for being such an advocate for all of us, even on days when we don't feel like it, and for just living your joy, because your joy is contagious.
Yeah.
I love you all. Oh.
And another thing I'll say about Marty is you are such a loyal friend. The people who are in your inner sanctum, you care for them and look after them. And, you know, I've seen you in action as how you are with your best friends, and it's beautiful.
Baby,
you
ride
learn everything
hard.
About that.
We ride hard.
You do.
And at
really
dawn.
We're as thick as thieves.
It's true. Thank you for helping us to remind us to be brave. You're truly, literally, like, you live out loud in a way that's, like, so, you know, we think we're all fierce over here, and I think I'm doing something, blah, 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 blah. But, baby, you're really doing something, and it's so nice to see that you're being, you know, honored for it.
Yeah. And as we're closing out Pride Month, what is something you would like to leave with our milkers, our listeners, going into the rest of the year after Pride is long gone?
I mean, this is kind of cliche, but, like, be unapologetically you, loud and proud. Like, it does. You are you, and there is only one of you out of the billions of years that Earth has been around, out of the billions and billions of people who have existed on this planet. You are the only one of you that will ever be. That will ever be. And Maya Angelou has this great, I love Maya Angelou. She's my meditation, and she does this great video. And this is kind of my, like, mantra that when I'm feeling I need to get my shit together, I need to center. It's a Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. But she says this thing where she goes, and for me, I don't know what God I believe in, but there's something out there. And she says, God, which created the stars and the trees and you and me, God loves me. God loves me. It's amazing. And I can do all things good because of that. And that is what is my driving force. There is a power in the universe that loves me for exactly who I am. And because of that, even on the hard days, I can do all things good.
Yeah.
So that's... Amen.
I said amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you are one of the angels here on earth.
Wow. Well, Marty, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
We love you. We really do.
I love you all so much.
Ugh, we could
happy
do this
Pride, everyone.
Forever.
Thank you for celebrating this
happy
month
pride
with us.
Happy Pride.
Rate, like, subscribe, and share with someone who gets it or needs to. Qué rico.